listening to Revelations Radio News with Andrew Hoffman and Tim Kilkenny, a listener-supported podcast located at revelationsradionews.com.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
We are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy.
Have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Podcasting from Edmond, Oklahoma, where I am alive and well and doing a podcast. I'm one of your hosts, and my name is Tim Kilkenny.
And podcasting from Piedmont, Oklahoma, sipping on some hydrogen water, I'm Andrew Hoffman.
Oh my gosh. See, I always have like a point, like I'm going to say something, I have mine, but then I'm too like ADD, and then you say yours, and I'm like, what are we talking about with the hydrogen water? And then we go to a different direction. So please tell me about hydrogen water.
I got the echo, whatever it's called.
I got to look this up. Echo what?
It's just Echo Water, Echo Pro or something. Yeah.
Echo Water, Echo Hydrogen Water, official store.
I got the reverse osmosis
sure.
deal. Yep. So yep.
That's awesome.
Dump the RO water in there and it puts bubbles into it for about 10 minutes and then it's extra hydrogen water. So.
We got the Ultimate Human Podcast, the CEO Podcast, Joe Rogan Podcast, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS. I do love that they put The Ultimate Human, The Diary of a CEO, and Joe Rogan Podcasts listed before Fox News, ABC, NBC, and CBS on there.
Well, yeah. I mean, he plugs it like every episode of Ultimate Human. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I never even heard of this, but that's awesome. Good for you. Does it help you withstand 102 degree temperatures?
Maybe. Maybe it's supposed to help you, all sorts of stuff. It's supposed to help vitamins absorb better and your brain, like, blood flow to be better, like, not to get Alzheimer's, stuff like that. So.
Okay. Well, hey.
It's just water. It's just
right.
Even more of the good things about water. So.
Huh. Well, there you go. Very cool. And have you noticed a difference?
Yes, but you know, it's not like it offsets everything else, right? So
sure.
If I'm, eating junk or something, it's not like the hydrogen water cures all that, but
sure. Well, very good. I wish I had a crazy long story for everybody to hear, so why we haven't done a podcast in a long time, but I'll just be straight up honest with everybody. I have been super busy with life and all of the things going on in my life with the two kids and the summertime and the getaways and all of the things and trying to start a business, create a career. It's been since beginning of May, so I guess we're coming up on almost 2 months, so a month and a half or so, a little more. Yeah, I don't have a reason, but I have become saturated with the news. Like, I think it's called burnout. I know No Agenda likes to call it man overboard, but I have just unplugged from the news and I haven't been paying attention to stuff. So it's like a whole part of my brain that I have to kind of keep going to make sure that I am of value to you guys out there. So, you know, unless we want to have a podcast that talks about, I don't know, starting a business in a new place that you've moved to, or coaching, you know, 7-year-old boys in baseball or basketball, or running long distances every morning. I haven't had, like, the format of this show has not fit anything that I've been doing. I just haven't been paying attention. I haven't even really been listening to No Agenda. I haven't been listening to Gasp, James Corbett. I haven't been listening to any of that sort of stuff. I've been listening to some audiobooks. I have been just kind of unplugging from the matrix, as it were. And, you know, I don't know if you noticed, Andrew, but the economy is pretty crazy and inflation is really bad. And it seems like everybody is struggling. And I think that's just, I don't know. I've just been more focused on my family and more focused on physical fitness. And it's hard to do a podcast where you deconstruct the news if you stopped watching the news or paying attention. Does that make sense, man?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, we've had times where one or the other, you know, we've rambled about football for...
That's true.
So it's not like, you know, I'm demanding content, 100% quality news deconstruction content from you. But I think, you know, people like to hear from you and what's going on with your life. And I do want to apologize to people for just taking a 2-month break without telling them.
Sure.
It wasn't really planned on our part at all. So it's
not like, and as Andrew mentioned, just kind of in the very short conversation we had before the show, in the past when we've taken long breaks, as people will know, we're talking about Danny as a genius. Danny from Medford, Oregon, obviously. When we did take those extended breaks, we didn't have supporters like we do now. And so Andrew and I were kind of discussing, it doesn't feel right to take a break for 2 months without telling anybody when we have supporters who are sending in money. So if you feel as though you have been misled, that you continue to have donate to something that has not given you value, it's value for value, let me know and I will process a refund. I can send money back. I think it works both ways. And if you are not thrilled with the inconsistency, feel free to stop your subscription. I certainly don't want to act like, oh yeah, we're here raking in the dough. We definitely aren't. I have not done any totals for donations or anything like that. And we are definitely, you know, if there's somebody out there who feels as though they have been deceived or something, it certainly wasn't the intention, and I will send your donation back. Also, Danny from Medford truly understands me because, as Andrew mentioned, he is a real veteran of the show, which means that he's been around, so he knows. So there was a certain point, so 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016. Yeah, 2017, there's no show at all for the entire year of 2017. And then 2018, 2019. I'm not saying, yep. And also no show at all for 2019. So it's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
So this happens. This time feels a little different though, because I not only haven't been able to give the time commitment to doing a podcast, but I just haven't been paying attention to the stuff that we talk about. So, hey, I appreciate you guys out there. I know that a lot of people were emailing, they were concerned. And so that is heartwarming. And hey, we are fine. Everything is fine. I haven't been watching the news. It's like fatigue, like news fatigue. Like, I feel like they're just, everything is just a game. Like tonight, it's funny. We come back and we did not plan this in any way. As a matter of fact, we were planning on doing it yesterday. And then I'm like, no, we can't do it yet. You know, so I got a end of season pool party for the boys in baseball. But last night we're doing this other thing. And so if we switch it till tonight and then we come back and it's like debate night, it's like, oh, great. So then I turn, you know, look at things and it's just, they've trotted this old man in a mask with the earpiece out and he is giving some sort of like barely coherent answers. I mean, it just feels like everything is meant to irritate you.
Yeah.
You know? It's just meant, it's what do you call it? Agitprop? Agitation propaganda?
Well, but I feel like Joe Biden is demoralization propaganda.
Sure. There you go.
So it's designed to make you not want to pay attention and just be like, forget it. You know, just to ignore it and, you know, live your life the best you can. Basically throw your hands in the air and give up on it. It's kind of what the idea is. Cause it is frustrating being like, you know, this is really it. And more and more people are figuring out that it's, you know, the president doesn't run the country. That's kind of the big lie is now that most people still think the president runs the country. And that's, I don't think, true at all. So, but yeah, we had the debate, and I think I found the one clip that can sum up that debate. It's about 20 seconds, and I think it sums it up pretty well.
Oh, I'm not ready. I'm out of practice here. Let me see what I can do here.
So the lead into this clip is them debating their fitness for the presidency.
Uh-huh.
And Donald Trump's example of how he is fit for the presidency is that he has recently won 2 club championships, and not just the senior division, but club championships. And you can't do that if you're not mentally with it. So that's the lead in to this Joe Biden gem here.
Just take a look at what he says he is and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And but by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie. He's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8. Never. But I have, you know how many?
I've seen you swing. I know you swing. Let's not act like children.
President Trump, we're going to
turn. Let's not act like
children.
You know, I was actually running this recently. It was today. It was a couple within the last day or two. And I thought, I wonder if Andrew's going to have any golf information. Like once I knew we were doing the podcast, I was like, I wonder if Andrew's got any golf information for us. Andrew is always a pro in the golf info. So this is like a crossing of my favorite things here.
So like how Biden like backtracks on the lie, like within 5 seconds, like
yes. He
goes from a 6 handicap to an 8 handicap, which is a 25% difference. Like it is, you know, it's 2 strokes, but that's a pretty significant difference. And, I don't recall seeing Joe Biden hit a golf ball ever as vice president.
No.
But I've seen him as president, and he's not a 6 handicap. He's not a 16 handicap. He's not a 26 handicap. He is a disabled gentleman who might be able to make it through you know, one or two holes. Like that's what's going on now.
What is that? So I apologize, and I'm not. I know I'm not the only one. Yeah, yeah.
What the handicap? Okay, so the handicap, it is it's based on the course rating.
Okay.
Which, just for the sake of this example, let's just say the course rating is 72. So the course rating is same as the par.
Okay.
If it was a par 72 and rated 72. So that's harder courses will have higher course ratings. Most courses will be lower than the par, but we'll just say that.
Okay.
So then the handicap is determined by taking the best 10 of your last 25 scores and averaging them together as they compare with the course rating that you played.
Okay.
So a six handicap, at least, you know, 40% of the time is breaking 80. So it's pretty good golf. Like, I don't have an active handicap right now, but I would be in that 6 to 8 range right now.
Okay.
So it, you know.
Okay. And hold on, just so I can brag on you for a minute and explain it to listeners who may not know, but I'm sure they know. You walked on to your college team in golf.
So
and
it
made the team.
At that point, yeah, I had a zero handicap. That was the.
But you're pretty good. You're pretty good, is what I'm saying. You're not just an average Joe.
Right. So. A six handicaps, that's a pretty good golfer. And it's very unlikely that Joe Biden has ever been a six handicap. I'm just going to put that out there.
I like how Trump bit onto it immediately because Trump is a golfer, right? Yeah, like he speaks with like authority on it. And you can always tell when someone knows what they're talking about, like when they speak in the tone of voice. Like,
the biggest lie of all.
the biggest lie of all is that he would have a six handicap.
Yeah. And, you know, people hate Trump, so they just assume that he lies about his golf because he lies about a lot of stuff. But if you watch him hit a golf ball, it's actually, like, for his age and
size,
you know, he could hit some really good, legitimately good shots. Like, he is a good golfer. And I've said that before, you know, in comparison with Obama was terrible. Like, and the press, he's a basketball player. Like, please, he's not a basketball player or a golfer. But but that was the level of the debate, honestly. I watched a good chunk of it, and it was not anything more substantial than that. Just like Trump saying, oh, the economy was the best ever when I was president, the safest border, and everyone was rich and happy, and he's totally making it up. And then Biden's like, oh, it was terrible, and no one had a job when Trump was president, and now everyone's got jobs, and yeah, it's two very unconvincing liars. And if Joe Biden did a week of debate prep and this is what he got out of it, it's a rough scene. I think they were worried about hyping him, you know, drugging him too much, jacking him up too high for the debate. And so you just got him like whispering the whole time, which was
not good.
Strange.
Yeah. Not a good look.
So, well, while we're on the sports theme,
sure.
This is I've got a really random but good trip for you.
Okay,
ends in a good place. So if it's the last show in a while, hopefully we'll end on a high note here. But before we get there. I don't think you never watched UFC stuff, right?
I don't watch it. I haven't.
Yuri Prochazka mm-hmm. is fighting Alex Pereira this Saturday, UFC 303. So Yuri Prochazka, you'll hear him in this clip. You know, English is not his first language. Sure. But he's like, kind of crazy, like in the, like really into the martial arts side of it.
Sure.
Which with UFC, it's some of the most amazing sportsmanship you'll ever see. Like two guys trying to knock each other's heads off for 15 minutes and then like, you know, embrace afterward. Yeah. It's really, it can, you know, there's the other side of it too, but there's a lot going on there, but he is, like he had won the championship and he hurt himself in training and like immediately relinquished the belt.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah. Like just instantly.
Is that how that works? Like you can't defend your title. You got to give it up.
Not necessarily, but he felt it was the right thing to do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I respect his outlook on things. So Alex Pereira, who was a world champion kickboxer and then came to the UFC. So he's got some weaknesses, but also very potent, will knock you out. And the first time they fought, he knocked Yuri Prochazka out.
A world champion kickboxer will probably, yeah, like you said, knock you out. If he has any kind of reach or anything, I mean, that's...
He's got plenty of reach. So his little deal, like he acts like he's shooting an arrow and, you know...
Oh, I think I've seen that.
Okay. But he also does shamanic rituals.
Okay.
So Yuri Prochazka was asked, well, he brought it up. He's like, hey, Alex Pereira, like you believe in the spirits and this and that. He's like, I believe in that stuff too, but like, I don't think it should be a part of the fight. Like, let's just find out who's the better fighter with no, he's like, basically no witchcraft, bro.
Ah.
And so this got brought up again. And he kind of doubles down on it. Because I think, you know, the typical journalist is just like, oh, look at these weird, superstitious UFC guys, you know?
Right.
They're just typical. So that's the context for this clip.
You were talking about Alex using shamans and spiritual.
Can you
explain that?
No, I understand. Thank you. Yes, everybody knows that, and he's doing these rituals before the fight. Everybody can feel that, what's around him and what's going on. So, and I think Alex can't fight without that. So, and that's something what he's using like normally in a fighting. And let's see. This is like right now. This is my challenge to him. If we can fight in a clear way in this case, yeah, to be not without like some another things, some whatever, but let the higher power be there in the cage to see who's the best in the world, in the performance, in the pure performance. That's all.
Is that something you'll ask him to do to face you without doing all of that to see who's the best?
Yeah.
So he's got demons, huh?
So he's challenging. He's challenging him to fight without the witchcraft there. And They asked Alex Pereira about it, and he wasn't like, like, oh, the guy's crazy. I don't know what he's talking about. He's like, I know the spirit is me. And like, I've got in touch with that spirit. And if he doesn't, that's his problem. So it's kind of a weird, weird statement. So
that is weird.
I'll be rooting for Prochazka. I'll put it that way.
And which one's the kickboxer?
Well, I mean, they both have a kickboxing background, but Pereira was the world champion kickboxer.
Gotcha. I mean, that's right after the weird lady and the doing the devil hands at the Super Bowl.
Right, the whole Taylor Swift deal.
Spice, yeah. Ice Spice, or whatever, whoever her name is. And then, of course, Tom Brady. You know, Giselle famously told him when he was going to win and what he had to do in order to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Weird deal. That's interesting.
And then wasn't she cheating on him with the...
Jiu-jitsu
instructor. You got to watch those jiu-jitsu instructors.
I mean, it does. I'm not saying every wife who gets into jiu-jitsu and rolls around with their instructor is going to cheat, but I'm saying that if you have a wife that might be prone to cheating, maybe jiu-jitsu is not the sport for her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway. No, that's wild. Calling out the demons, huh? Calling out the, I mean, that stuff is real. We know it's real. We you know, and he said, it's interesting how he said everyone feels it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the journalist is just trying to shame him into like backing down from that, you know, like, oh, it's not, it's just like, yeah, I know what I said.
That's part of me.
So he started his answer. I know what I said. Yeah. So, yeah. But, I don't know. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
And, in an age where we can't let kids keep score because they might get their feelings hurt, the idea of being able to fight and still have respect for each other is kind of it's on the other end of the spectrum there.
Let me tell you, man, we keep score in baseball around here and basketball. So
yeah, that's true.
Our team did not make any sort of, we played a tournament at the end of the year. We did not win any sort of award that you get a ring. If you win your division, we didn't win anything. We didn't win. We lost. And our team is 7. So,
right. Yeah. I mean,
around here, you win and lose. So I know the rest of the country's on some other sauce, but just so you just, there is hope. There's places that still keep score.
Well, and learning how to win and learning how to lose are both important, you know, maturity steps.
Absolutely.
But, well, let's. It's a loose connection. Okay. But there was a Phil Mickelson tweet.
Still sports.
That's the connection. It was Phil Mickelson retweeting the Vigilant Fox. We've had many of Vigilant Fox clips and tweets on the show, and the Vigilant Fox clip that he was retweeting was Jimmy Dore talking about skin cancer. And this is a Revelations Radio News theme. Jimmy Dore's got some interesting information on it.
All right.
So I found this article by Midwestern Doctor. If you haven't followed Midwestern Doctor, you should, on Substack. Unbelievable, all the stuff. This person, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, says dermatology's disastrous war against the sun, the forgotten side of skin health and the necessity of sunlight, by the Midwestern Doctor. Okay, you ready? Get hold on to your, because here it comes. There's going to be several. I'm going to have to break this up into 3 different segments, which I will do on Monday. So I'm just going to do 1 segment today. Skin cancers are by far the most commonly diagnosed cancer in the United States. So to prevent them, the public is constantly told, avoid the sun. You've heard that, avoid the sun, right?
Yeah.
However, while the relatively benign skin cancers are caused by sun exposure, benign skin cancers, which is what this is caused by sun exposure. The ones responsible for most skin cancer deaths are due to the lack of sunlight.
Why, lack of vitamin D or something?
This is unfortunate because sunlight is arguably the most important nutrient for the human body, as avoiding it doubles one's rate of dying and significantly increases their risk of cancer. The exact opposite. Huh, Misha, is this not blowing your mind?
I always thought it was like how Caucasian you are versus how, you know, I thought it was like a sliding scale.
Well, I'm telling you right here, Kurt, the important thing we need to focus on here is that, take Kurt away, is that avoiding it doubles one's rate of dying. Avoiding the sun doubles your rate of dying and significantly increases your risk of cancer.
See, I believe it because when I lived in New York, you live like a vampire.
Yeah.
And everybody has a deficiency.
And now everybody's...
It's a common urban problem.
That's right.
Of a severe vitamin D deficiency.
Well, like in the 1800s, it was rickets.
Yeah, right.
And
it's like
right.
boat diseases and shit.
So a strong case can be made that this dynamic was a result of the dermatology profession, with the help of a top PR firm, rebranding themselves to skin cancer fighters, something which allowed them to become one of the highest paying medical specialties in existence. This happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
They hired a Wall Street advertising firm. Unfortunately, despite the billions that is put into fighting it each year, skin cancer, there has been no substantial change in the number of skin cancer deaths. None. No substantial change. So all this skin cancer awareness and all this guidance and where your sunblock, by the way, sunblock, a lot of sunblock, toxic.
Yeah, that's
what they don't tell you that either. Not good. There's two different kinds of sunblock. There's the toxic, bad kind. So I'm going to try to go through this as fast as I can because there's a lot to cover. So because of how successful the war against sunlight has been, many people are unaware of its benefits. For example, sunlight is critical for mental health. This is most well appreciated with depression. For example, consider this study of Chinese operating room nurses, which found their mental health was significantly worse than the general population, and that this decline was correlated to their lack of sunlight exposure. Okay, so that's one. Number two, a large epidemiological study found women with higher solar UVB exposure had only half the incidence of breast cancer as those with lower solar exposure, and that men with higher residential solar exposure had only half the incidence of fatal prostate cancer. A 50% reduction in either of these cancers greatly exceeds what any of the approaches we use to treat or prevent them have accomplished. Sun, the sun, for fighting cancer. Three, a 20-year prospective study evaluated 29,518 women in southern Sweden. I was just there. Oh, the meatballs. Not kidding. Where women from each age bracket with no significant health issues were randomly selected, essentially making it one of the best possible epidemiologic studies that could be done. It found that women who were sun avoidant compared to those who had regular exposure to sunlight were 60% more likely to die. So if you avoid the sun, 60% more likely to die, being roughly 50% more likely to die than the moderate exposure group, and 130% more likely to die than the group with high sun exposure. You've been avoiding the sun, haven't you, Misha? Oh, okay. We just call her Meester.
Rick Overton said machete.
Okay. Note, to be clear, there are very few interventions in medicine that do anything close to this, meaning the sun. The largest gain was seen in the risk of dying from heart disease, while the second gain was seen in the risk of all causes of death besides heart disease and cancer. And the third largest gain was seen in deaths from cancer. So it lowered your risk of death from all those things, including cancer. The investigators concluded that the smaller benefit in reduced cancer death was in part an artifact of the subjects actually living longer and hence succumbing to a type of cancer that would have only affected them later in life. So even though so what they're saying is that because they got sun, they lived so much longer that a lot of them got cancer at the end, but they would have died much earlier had they not gotten sun exposure. Do you follow that? I hope so. The largest benefit, get this, Kurt, the largest benefit was seen in smokers.
Yeah.
To the point, non-smokers who avoided the sun, non-smokers who didn't get sun, had the same risk of dying as smokers who got sunlight.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because you got to figure out just your mental state 100% getting sun, it changes your mental state.
Okay.
And then it's easier to exercise, especially exercise out in the sun. And it's a radically different feeling than, and I've done both things. And the vampire lifestyle,
it's
brain bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
So according to the American Academy of Dermatology, this is what the official Dermatology Academy says about skin cancer. You ready? It says skin cancer is the most common cancer in the United States. Current estimates are that 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer. They just call it all skin cancer. Mm-hmm. So there's the kind of skin cancer that most people get, not scary at all. And then there's 1% of people die from skin cancer. That's the scary part. But they lump them together. So they're doing it here. 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer, which makes you shit your pants and get afraid of the sun.
Yeah.
It is estimated that approximately 9,500 people in the U.S. are diagnosed with skin cancer every day. But did you know that most of those skin cancers diagnosed are benign?
That's what I did think that.
Basal cell and squamous cell carcinomas, the two most common forms of skin cancer, are highly treatable if detected early and treated properly. They even put these two together, which is incorrect for them to do. Because exposure to UV light is the most preventable risk factor for all skin cancers. So they're lumping all skin cancers together. The kind of skin cancer that's caused by the sun, which is not as scary as the kind of skin cancer that is caused by not enough sun.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Which is actually very scary.
I didn't know there was one caused by not enough
sun. So they're doing that.
That's the thing I didn't realize.
The Academy of Dermatology encourages everyone to stay out of indoor tanning beds and protect their skin outdoors by seeking shade, wearing protective clothing, including a long sleeve shirt, pants, a wide brimmed hat like machete, and sunglasses with UV protection. And applying a broad-spectrum water-resistant sunscreen with an SPF of 30 or higher to kill off skin not covered by clothing. Likewise, according to the Skin Cancer Foundation, more than 2 people die of skin cancer in the U.S. every hour. That sounds pretty scary, right? Well, let's break that down to exactly what that means. It is generally believed that around 2.64 million people get one cancer a year. Skin cancer. The three primary risk factors for basal cell carcinoma cancer are excessive sun exposure, fair skin, which makes you more susceptible to excessive sunlight penetrating your skin, and family history of skin cancer. So that's the kind of cancer I got. I have light skin, blue eyes, and I get a lot of sun on my face. Because of this, the widely varying incidence of basal cell carcinoma is largely due to how much sunlight exposure people have, and typically you find it in areas with frequent sunlight exposure, like on the face. Okay? The important thing to understand about basal cell carcinoma is that because it almost never metastasizes, it's not very dangerous. And most sources say that it has a 0% fatality rate.
Yeah, man. You still with me?
We brought in the Jimmy Dore with the... He's fully alternative. He's basically Joseph Mercola at this point.
His journey has been a fun one to watch.
Yeah. And, but yeah, you know, what were we saying during COVID? Get outside. Yeah. Yeah. So
I have to say, my second time here in Oklahoma, when I left, I was afraid of the sun, you know, the sunblock and all the things. And this time, it's different as an adult, I think, because as an adult, you can kind of feel, hey, this doesn't feel right. Maybe I'm getting a little burnt here. Because I don't think a sunburn is necessarily good for you, right? But as an adult, I'm back and I can very easily tell, oh, this is a okay burn. Like, it's not a burn, but like an okay kind of warmness. It's just, I don't know. I know that what I say is anecdotal and everybody else has to do their own thing, but it should be noted. I have lived half of my life in this state. I am back as an adult. I have red hair and fair skin. So I'm a bit of an expert on the topic, but you know, my son, oh gosh, the Lord has kissed him with some amazing genes. You know, he got my wife's Italian kind of olive colored skin. So he just, you know, the moment the sun starts to be out, he's got his shirt off and it just immediately turns tan. And I swear last year he got burnt and he never has experienced the pain of it, because the next day his body just like absorbed it, like just made it tan. Just anyway. Yeah, man. And I, you know, it's hard. It's like, this is one of the ones I can tell you right now, it's going to be hard to convince anybody of. You got to let them almost figure it out themselves, because this is the missing part of people's heads.
Yeah. The missing part of that is that most of us shouldn't burn, or it should be really tough to get a sunburn.
Understood.
But the seed oils,
I understand. No,
the interaction of the seed oils make our skin burn really easy. So that's the other piece of it.
I understand that. I've limited seed oil intake as much as I can casually. But you shouldn't burn. I understand that. The other thing that's interesting in there, and I know people like this. They never go outside. I know one family in particular, they're kind of a video game family, and they just never go outside.
Yeah, it's pretty common these days. But
it is pretty common these days, and it's wild. So I also heard a statistic, and I think about this a lot too, and this is one of the, it's right in the same vein. I wish I had the stats, but it's something like human beings are meant to spend like 80% of their life outdoors and 20% indoors, you know, the way that we're designed in, you know, throughout history. And now you're getting to like adults are spending less than 5% of their lives outdoors. And that's low.
Yeah.
I think you do well with your golf, right? Golf's going to keep you outdoors quite a bit.
Well, my new job, you know, I do a lot of outside sales, like just literally walking up and down the street, pulling doors, right? So,
right.
You know, it's a little more, a little less time just sitting in front of a computer and a little more walking around. Still a lot of driving, which isn't great, because driving, you've got the, obviously you're sitting still and you've got all the weird electromagnetic stuff going on with the car itself. And
you bought a Tesla? That, but
no,
it's been two months, you already have an electromagnetic car.
It's that part's not great, but you know, it could be worse. I'll put it that way.
Here's an interesting thought, and I've heard this I've heard it, you guys could just, I don't have a site for it, but I've heard it. Your eyes. So being a redhead, I have light colored skin. So my eyelids, like, this has always been a struggle for me. It's just hard to stand in direct sunlight and see. You know, I feel like I squint more than others. When I'm going to sleep, if there is light, I'm like super sensitive to it. I don't feel like my lighter skin blocks out the light when I close my eyes as much as it might for other people. So, you know, worn an eye mask. Like I'm going to be in a situation where I know the room won't go totally dark, just throw on an eye mask. Super easy for me to go to sleep. But what I've heard is sunglasses disturb your body's natural reaction to sunlight. So what I've heard is that your body gets like a photo, like the photographic, you know, lens in within your eye senses the light and sends a message to the brain, and the brain prepares the skin. Hey, we're in a really light sensitive area. This is, you know, and prepares the skin to react in a certain way, which is kind of wild to think about. Like, okay, then what? You're not supposed to wear sunglasses either. So now you're throwing on sunglasses and that's throwing off your body's natural reaction. So anyway.
Well, very scientific. I've heard along those lines that vitamin D production, like your eyes are important.
Sure.
With that. So
It's like photoreceptors or something. Anyway, it's interesting to talk about in the middle of summer. I mean, it's the middle of June. It was supposed to be, it wasn't 100. It didn't hit 100 today, but it was supposed to be 100 like 4 or 5 days this week.
Today was the cool day, so I got out and mowed the lawn because it was only 95 today. So.
I did. Same, bro. Same. I mowed the lawn as well, as though I didn't have enough going on today. I also mowed the lawn. So I was like, man, I walked out. I was like, ah, it's hot. And I was like, wait. It's not that hot.
Not as hot as yesterday and not as hot as it'll be tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and then for those listening at home, mowed the backyard, no shirt. Freckles out, no sunlight. Freckles out, no sunscreen. So you look at the back of a sunscreen, you still can't pronounce anything on the back of that thing. It's still something, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think zinc oxide is probably relatively safe, but I don't know where any of the rest of that stuff is.
Yeah. No, it's definitely got some toxic ingredients there. Ironically enough, cancer causing.
So yeah. Yeah.
So you're preventing the type of cancer that's not real serious and making yourself more at risk for more serious types of cancer.
Didn't we determine like 1945 was like a big day, like everything, like a big year where things kind of lined up with the seed oils and the.
Yeah, I think it was for water fluoridation, a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like right in there, I bet you it's the promotion of,
because it was all the chemical companies needed new stuff to do post World War II, so they got into food.
No more Zyklon B.
So you gotta let's just make everybody eat this junk. So yeah.
So but that would be the time when sunscreen and seed oils started, and then thank goodness after that everybody got a lot skinnier. And there was no skin and there was no skin cancers because they had solved it with the seed oils and the sunscreen.
Well, so when was Eisenhower's heart attack? Because that was because they already had the Crisco and stuff before that. But
64. Let me look it up.
It was the transition from, I think it was in the 50s. Because I think it was while he was president. And it was like, let's shame McDonald's into, you know, right, with the American Heart Association. Let's use vegetable oils because it's got vegetable in the name. So it must be good for you.
1955.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that was, it's been all downhill from there. I got my locally sourced beef tallow.
So do you rub it on yourself?
No.
What do you do with it?
But I...
No, I'm serious. What do you do?
I put it in a frying pan on the gas stove. That's what I put my eggs in, whatever meat I've got, throw it in there.
In the cast iron pan?
Yeah.
You got the cast iron pan and the beef tallow.
Yeah.
You're like a renaissance man. You become quite a different person now that we've moved to Oklahoma.
I use the beef tallow for, a lot of stuff.
So it's great for cooking. We've been using that. We have used a lot of coconut oil has a high flash point, and I haven't found that to have a lot of the negative seed oil things. But
coconut oil is good for you.
But what was I gonna say? Oh, my wife, I don't know if she wants me sharing her information, but yeah, she's been using a beef tallow product as a moisturizer.
It's good for the skin.
As we've talked about, the conservative women have stolen what was the hippie liberal women's whole bag, their whole once they went like, we're gonna take every vaccine that the government tells us to. The conservative women stepped in and like, we're going to try to wash our hair with eggs and use beef tallow on our face and see what happens. So my wife is not washing her hair with eggs, but anyway, yeah, she tried the beef tallow.
It'd probably be good for your hair.
It's supposedly really good for it, man, because it has a bunch of the stem cells or whatever it is, the growing, the things, you know, the eggs, the whatever. There's a whole bunch of stuff about it. But yeah, she's been using the beef tallow, and it's a locally sourced, and it is, I think it's infused with a, shoot, I'm going to mess this up. It's an oil. So they have a beef tallow that has a little bit of like a kind of an oil to kind of make it easier to spread. But
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it with just straight beef tallow.
Yeah. It's like echinacea or I don't know.
So my source for the beef tallow is Sharp's Barbecue here in Piedmont.
No kidding.
And I got it there a few times.
Did you just ask for it or what?
It was on the menu.
Oh.
Like beef tallow. And I'm like, sweet, I'll get it here. Because I had ordered some online before. And so then it wasn't listed anymore. And I asked for it. It's like, oh, yeah, we got one more. And I got that. And then I asked for it again. And it was a new kid working. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what? I'm like, beef tallow. He's like, what? I don't even know what you're saying. And I'm like, well, ask
him. I'm sure that sort of response is a really great one for you to have to deal with.
ask your boss there. And he comes over. He's like, yeah, I'm going to make some on Friday. He's like, come back next weekend.
Nice.
So I came back and he gave me like this big tub of it for $5.
Nice.
Yeah, that was so that's what I'm working on right now.
That's cool.
So the, you know, I mean, there's quite a few things, but one of the biggest
in this 9-minute clip from Jimmy. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was going to move to the lectern guy clip. I'll give you a heads up on that. So the lectern guy is the lectern guy from January 6th. Guy with the long hair, smiling in the MAGA hat or what have you, the stocking cap, walking out with
really?
Okay. Nancy Pelosi's lectern.
Oh, right? I remember this with the face, the smiling. He's like, he has a great smile. It's very memorable. So, like, I'm here, I'm taking the stuff.
Like he, as you could kind of see from that, like he's a very, just kind of easygoing, funny guy. And they locked him up. They threw the book at him. They claim that the lectern was worth over $1,000 because that was a different level of like criminal mischief. And so that's how they were able to throw him in jail. Threw him in jail. I forget. It was like 6 months he had to spend. Anyway, it's a pretty long time. And he's out and going about his life. And the prosecutor that threw him and most of January 6th people in prison had a little incident of his own. So that's what this clip is about.
So I am smiling a little bit extra today. I'm on my way to the pretrial hearing for Patrick Scruggs, my first prosecutor, who was caught in a road rage incident, stabbing a man in the chest several times. This is the beginning of the end for him. It's not very often that we get to see karma in our own lifetimes, and we get to see it directly, but that is exactly what is being delivered up to me today. So on my way to the courthouse, it's going to be a great day.
That was a couple weeks ago. So yeah, his prosecutor is on trial for a homicidal road rage incident where he stabbed someone multiple times.
Wow.
So, yeah. And,
this is my fellow redheaded gentleman. I forgot this dude had, he's got the redheaded locks falling out.
Honestly, it's a good Twitter account to follow. He's got
Yeah, he's got a great Twitter account.
Yeah, he's like building a lectern.
Yeah.
He's like, this cost me way less than $1,000. I'm beginning to think they trumped up the charge on me.
Yeah, his bio on Twitter, the lectern guy, podium guy, Via Getty, the immortal ginger, the jolly warrior, can fold a fitted sheet, gentleman in the streets, silly goose in the tweets.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's entertaining to follow. And so he's just, I don't know if he already had money or where he's getting his money, but him and his wife are always doing fun stuff now. I guess, you know, spending some time in prison. He's living it up. So,
so is he out of prison now?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Because he's traveling and attending the, he was interviewed at the Babylon Bee and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah. But, you know, Trump doesn't stand up for that guy.
No, not at all.
And I think he doesn't really talk about that much. I mean, he's, you know, but I don't think he's all in for, I don't think he's going to be all in for Trump this time around. I got a feeling. Huh. So, left a lot of people hanging there. So, I mean, we gotta have, you know, if it's the last show in a while, we gotta do some vaccine stuff.
Okay.
So there was, it's not someone we've followed real closely. I think we've heard clips from him, but Dr. Rashid Ali Buttar. He's one of the vaccine disinfo dozen people.
Oh, good.
One of the COVID questioners.
The Hall of Fame of questioning.
Yeah, disinformation right up there with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Mercola and all the rest of them. So he was interviewed by CNN and they were hassling him, right? So so this goes back to about 3 years ago. So Dr. Rashid Ali Buttar and Drew Griffin, CNN clip one.
Now, I don't want to be part of this mass genocide that I see happening. And I think that what's going on right now will be remembered as a worse time in history compared to what World War II happened.
You are raising doubt about a vaccine.
I hope I am, because I hope more people take heed of the warning that is necessary.
You think I'm vaccinated, right? You think I have a time bomb in me and I'm going to die?
Well, I hope not, but I'll be happy to meet you in 3 years and then see how you're doing.
But you think that's possible?
I think that it's probable.
And let's go to Drew Griffin, CNN, the other clip.
Heartbreaking news to share with you this morning that our colleague, our friend, and truly distinguished CNN journalist Drew Griffin passed away in the last 24 hours. Drew had been with CNN for nearly two decades. In that time, he was responsible for some of the most impactful journalism of this company in politics, sports, government, big business. He was a good man, a tremendous journalist, a huge part of this network.
Man.
So it was, you know, within the 3 years.
Yeah.
And Drew Griffin was not, you know, not old. I don't know if in that clip, they didn't even try to give a cause of death, but it did not look like someone that should be dying in 2024.
That's wild, man.
Yeah.
Calling his death on camera and then it happening.
Yeah, and I think that was actually used as like the look at the crazy anti-vaxxers, like back when it happened. And, you know, oh, the terrible anti-vax disinfo. And it wasn't disinfo for you, Drew Griffin.
Right.
There's been a lot of that stuff going on. Unfortunately, it just kind of I don't know, you hear all sorts of, you know, just different people you sort of know or refer to. It seems to happen more often than it used to. Anecdotally, anyway. So,
wind blowing over there at the Hoffman House out there in Piedmont.
Oh, the wind comes whistling over the plains.
The wind is always blowing.
Yeah, there's some great lightning last night. It was interesting sky. I threw some short videos in the Telegram there, Do you have the stuff to thank people, or what do you?
I don't. Do I mean, front? I would have to put together a list. I could try to piece it together just from the give, send, go.
I've got a couple other stories, but I want to save that last clip for last, basically.
I will get the list together and put it in the credits of this show. I don't know that we'll have it all in one place to call it out. I just don't want to like do it and then miss a bunch of people because I didn't have everything updated.
So also on the vaccine front, Epoch Times, you know how they're like, oh, well, sure, some people get the vaccine and get myocarditis or pericarditis, but it's much more rare than getting it from COVID. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was just a assertion from the media and Fauci and what have you. There was no actual study behind that. So when they did the study, it turns out it only happens in people that are vaccinated, not after COVID-19 infection. Huh. Strange. So that's...
And what's the reaction that happens, like long COVID?
No, so myocarditis and pericarditis.
Right, but they've now called that long COVID, right?
No, those are the heart condition things. The long COVID's, yeah, it's more of like a chronic deal, but the myocarditis, pericarditis is, you know, those are the died suddenlies.
Yeah.
When it doesn't get caught soon enough.
Yeah. What
have you?
No, that's no good, man. I don't know, man. There's a lot of the COVID deaths, all cause mortality.
Yeah.
Seems to be up.
So I'm guessing, since you're unplugged, that you didn't catch much or any of the Thomas Massey Tucker interview?
I did not, no. Didn't catch any of it.
I haven't watched the entire thing. I've watched a pretty good chunk of it. It's good. I mean, I like Thomas Massey. I've played clips from him before. He's team, you know, raw milk.
Okay.
Other things. But it was a good interview. They played some clips on No Agenda too, but
okay.
Yeah, it's the stuff that got hyped out of it was the him saying all the Republicans have an AIPAC guy to tell them what to do. But that wasn't the entirety of the interview there. So people should check that out. We missed the entire InfoWars getting shut down, then not quite getting shut down, just, you know, our awesome justice system. Well, it's not even criminal, but civil justice system saying, yeah, whatever money you make for the rest of your life, you can't keep it. You have to give it to these lawyers that represent the Sandy Hook families.
Hmm. So.
That was pretty crazy stuff, but there was the whole emergency broadcast and people coming to shut us down, and then, oh, he's making it up, and then, they are trying to shut it down, but he's crazy for thinking they're trying to shut it down, and then basically it's, as of now, still still running. So,
yeah. I actually heard that. I must have heard that on something I listened to, but check in with Alex. He's still on the air. I thought it was I did hear like third hand. Was it a podcast? But somebody mentioned maybe it was a ploy because he's being sued. Remember, they're coming for the money, the whole multi-trillion dollars that he owes, or whatever, $500 billion.
Well, I mean, he's been sued. He was found guilty before the trial. Remember that?
Yes, I do. And then everything had to.
So you can't say that you're not guilty because I'm saying you're guilty, and we're just deciding how much you should be charged for it. It's just crazy. But is Trump going to stand up for that? And then there was the undercover clip of.
Wait a second. One thing actually made me excited. Did Julian get out? Supposedly.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Julian Assange is actually out.
He had, well.
Or a clone that looks like Julian Assange.
No, but his plea deal basically says he's guilty and just legitimizes the criminalization of free speech.
Oh, great.
But it's, yeah, I don't blame him, but.
No, it's, yeah. I don't blame him either.
But, he took a charter flight to find like the most obscure part of U.S. territory. He didn't want to come to the regular U.S. He was afraid they'd pull a fast one and lock him up. So,
or kill him.
So he had to like sign it on U.S. territory. I don't know. Yeah. And they still might kill him.
Wow.
I mean, we'll see, but yeah, that was good news.
Yeah.
We got crazy NASA. There's always more crazy NASA stuff. We got, I think Reno posted this story about the fake Chinese titanium sold to Boeing and Airbus.
So I've listened to, I think, one episode, or the first part of a couple episodes of No Agenda. In the last 2 months, I've probably listened to one or two. So I think I caught one of the last ones within the last week or so. And they talked about, the fake titanium that was sold to Boeing. And now.
And the Spirit Aerosystems, which is, I know they're up in Wichita. I don't know if there are other places. I'm sure there are other places also, but I don't know what. But they were the ones who basically said, like, hey, this stuff isn't real. And
that guy, I don't care what anyone says, that guy is not real. She's pretty famous. She's become more famous. She's like put herself back out there.
Yeah.
What was I going to say about? Oh, I ran into a conspiracy in my real life, day to day. I had a friend tell me he thinks all of the Boeing failure stuff is to get everybody comfortable with the idea that Boeing has a lot of parts that are failing. Boeing has a lot of problems. Boeing has software that fails. Boeing has emergency crash landings. And it's all to hide that eventually Donald Trump is going to die in a Boeing plane crash, which I thought.
Oh, wow.
Interesting take.
That's a long.
It's a long game.
Long shaggy dog story. Yeah, that's I see it more as just as part of the ongoing demoralization, right? It's like, look at your lousy country.
Yeah.
You can't make stuff anymore. Anything you do, the manufacturing you do have, look how terrible it is. You know, it's like.
And, you know, it's a fine line. Earlier you said that, you know, part of the idea is to get everybody to throw up their hands and not care. But at the same time, I'm disengaging from the demoralization campaign. Like, I just, you know, and I don't know. It's just, if I don't watch it, if I don't see them saying it, like, am I demoralized if I don't see the insanity? I don't know.
Well, that's... if you're still going to work, then I would say you're not demoralized all the way. Like the way, what we want to stay away from is the people who are just full on, giving up, staying at home, not doing anything.
They exist, man. They are around.
Yeah.
I do think they are around.
So you gotta, whether you're fighting in the political arena or just in the, like, trying to provide for your family arena, you gotta still be out there one way or the other.
Absolutely. Yeah. So looks like we got two left. I know you're saving one. So we got Texas Pastor and then Helen Joyce.
Oh yeah, let's play the Helen Joyce clip. So this is she's talking about the trans, she calls it a social contagion, which is
100% accurate.
Yeah, very, very accurate. Although there is some chemicals and hormone disruptors that are definitely a part of it, but yes, and social contagion. Yeah.
They're also turning the freaking frogs gay.
Yeah.
Something that you may not have thought of is that there's a lot of people who can't move on this, because that's the people who've transitioned their own children. So those people are going to be like, you know, the Japanese soldiers who were on Pacific Islands and didn't know the war was over.
Right.
They'll be in hell one day. So unless they repent, I don't know if they'll be on an island in Japan, but sorry.
They've got to fight forever. This is another reason why this is the worst, worst, worst social contagion that we'll ever have experienced. A lot of people have done the worst thing that you could do, which is to harm their children irrevocably because of it. Those people will have to believe that they did the right thing for the rest of their lives, for their own sanity and for their own self-respect. So they'll still be fighting. And each one of those people destroys entire organisations and entire friendship groups. Like, I've lost count of the number of times that somebody has said to me of a specific organisation that has got turned upside down on this. Oh, the deputy director has a trans child, or, you know, oh, the journalist on that paper who does special investigations has a trans child, or whatever. The entire organization gets paralyzed by that one person. And it may not even be widely known at the organization that they have a trans child, but it will come out, like, people will have sort of said it quietly. And now you can't talk truth in front of that person. And you know you can't, because what you're saying is you as a parent have done a truly, like, human rights abuse level of awful thing to your child that cannot be fixed. There are specific individuals who are really actively against women's rights here, and it's not known why they are, but I happen to know through the back channels that it's because they've trans their child. And so those people will do anything for the entire rest of their lives to destroy me and people like me, because people like me are a standing reproach to them. I don't want to be. I'm not talking directly to them. I don't spend my time bitching about them. But the fact is that just simply by saying, we will never accept natal males in women's spaces, well, it's their son that we're talking about. And they've told their son that he can get himself sterilized and destroy his sexual function, and women will accept him as a woman. And if we don't, there's no way back for them and their child. They've sold their child a bill of goods that they can't deliver on. And I'm the one who has to be bullied to try to force me to deliver on it. So those people are going to be the people who will keep this bloody movement going.
All right. So Helen Joyce, which, to be honest, I'd never heard of Helen Joyce till I saw that clip on the internet, but I thought it was good and accurate and very sad. If you're bought into the point where you're transitioning, as they call it, your own child, yeah, you're fully bought in, and you're not going to admit you were wrong.
Munchausen's by proxy.
Yeah. It's and the real sad thing is when you see those kids, because a lot of them eventually figure it out, and then wow, that's a whole lot to deal with.
So. Yeah, unfortunately, Twitter is full of testimonies and transcripts and recordings of kids regretting their decision.
Yeah
And that's a dark place. I don't recommend anyone go looking at that. But it does put things in perspective.
Yeah.
It's not transitioning a kid. You're mutilating their genitals and body.
So this is the clip I've had this clip in there for over a month, I think.
Sure.
I got it from Smash Bales on Twitter, one of my favorite Twitter accounts there. And he was just reposting it from someone else. So a pastor in Texas comes down with the flu, and it damaged his windpipe so bad that he couldn't do public speaking, which is a big part of being a pastor. And he resigned from the pastorate. Doctors told him your voice is going to be like this forever. And so his Sunday school class said, well, come, we could still understand you. You know, it's a small group. Come speak. And so he did. So this is a recording of that teaching.
The psalmist writes, and he heals all of my diseases. Let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now you have to be careful on how you do this. Because there are folks who carry things to an excess, and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me and let it be. To say that, every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that, since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again, is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. In verse 4, he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm but overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say I'm lost for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit.
and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, that's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities, that's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Still there, man?
Still there. So it was the guy's name. Let me find it here.
Dwayne Miller.
So, had you heard that before?
I haven't. That was pretty awesome.
So that was, and it, you know, the I think the theology was right on. You got the one side that tries to turn God into a genie, saying like, oh, he has to do it if you tell him to in the right way, or, you know.
Right.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the, oh, no, all that stuff stopped in the book of Acts, and there's just no miracles anymore, and they are both incorrect. So it's... safe to say, although his theology was accurate, he was pretty surprised when it actually, when he was healed. So
did he almost not notice?
Well,
I feel like there was a second there where he almost,
yeah, he just kept talking. He didn't realize it was, you know,
yeah,
it's because you've talked one way your whole life and then you lose it.
Right.
And then it probably in some ways just felt
normal
again. Yeah. And then he realized what was going on though. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So he's done other interviews, since then. And yeah, he was healed. So able to go back to being a pastor. So,
wow. That's awesome, man. Using his voice to spread the word anyway, so why not?
So that's all I got for now. Thank you, Tim, for doing the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, everybody out there, for your patience. And I'll close us out in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for opportunity to do a podcast, to speak to all these many, many people. Lord, just bless each of them in each of their stages of life that they're in. Keep them healthy, and may you bless them financially in this crazy, crazy time here in the United States. Lord, help us to focus on our families and to do what you would have us do, not our wills, but your wills, not our will, but your will. And Lord, do help us get through these tough financial times. Bless us with as much abundance as we can handle, and that we may show your love to others in using that wealth. Pray all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, man.
I'm happy to do the show prep if you're up for giving your takes on stuff. So, you know, I don't think people would have a problem with Tim not totally dialed into stuff, but you can, whatever you want to do. And like you said, for people, we weren't trying to trick anybody. And if we owe you Yep. A refund, we'll get that to you. So.
Yep, it's still all in the give, send, go. I haven't even transferred it to an account yet. So, what was I going to say? I don't know. I'm tired. It's time to go to sleep. There might have to be a better time to do it than the last thing in the day, but it's tough when you're a dad and you work. Like, there's not a lot of other times.
Yeah, I mean, we could figure something out, though, because my current work is a lot of hours, but it's pretty flexible on when I put those hours in.
So. Okay, fair enough. That's good. And how's all that going? If you don't mind telling me and a couple thousand of your closest friends.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I get the feeling there's stuff going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like we may be being positioned for both to acquire other companies, but then possibly to get acquired.
Yeah.
Michael. So it's, you know, we'll see. I like the people I work with and my boss and everything, and now I have an additional boss, which is interesting. But so
my company is being acquired as well.
So
grew so fast that all of a sudden somebody was like, "Hey, that looks like it's going pretty well. Let's try and get them too." So. We'll see how all that goes. That can be a blessing and a curse. You know what though, Andrew? Go ahead.
It's not Mitt Romney though, right?
No, Mitt Romney is not acquiring us.
Okay, that's good.
Most important thing for me, I'll go from 1099 to W-2. So, with health insurance and all that sort of stuff, so that might be nice.
Hmm.
Could be better.
Yeah, worse for taxes. Better for.
Definitely worse for taxes.
Other stuff, but yeah.
Easier for proven income on a mortgage. Harder for paying the taxes.
Yep.
Because in the end, nobody ever really makes any money when they're 1099, right?
That's right.
They break even.
Yep.
Can you believe that? Trump would do such a thing that everyone in the whole country does?
Yeah. So, it's... I'm back W-2 and man, it's like, wait a second. I thought I was supposed to be getting paid this. Oh yeah. It's taxes and insurance and everything else. Yeah. But
Social Security. Don't worry, Andrew. You're going to be getting some Social Security. Oh, yeah,
the government will, it's just taking my money now. It'll be there. Yeah. Be well taken care of by that big Social Security check.
I saw some stat the other day. It was like, if you took all your Social Security money, put it in a, just in any like market, just like a, you know, this S&P 500 or something, like the money you put in, it'd be like worth like $8 million or something.
Yeah.
And instead you get like $2,200 a week or $2,200 a month or $1,200 a month. It's like, how are you supposed to survive on that? At this point, like what would you do with $1,200? Where's what can you do with that money? Like, how is that going to help you as a person in this country with a bunch of bills living on your own? Here's $1,200. Like,
yeah. Well, it's better than the alternative, I guess.
you're talking about Canada?
No, I'm talking about, you know, they're killing us off to lower the Social Security bill. So, you know, if you lived to Social Security, at least you made it that far. But
Yeah. Well, in Canada, you could just have you considered death? Have you thought about assisted death?
This was
something you could do.
You seem depressed. Would you like to die?
Yeah. How are the vibes? Low key? Mid. All right. Thank you guys for your patience. I hope we'll be talking to you again soon. And I'll get the donations in the show notes and we will cover them again on the next show. So, all right.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. And, you know, as Danny and the other veterans know, sometimes you don't hear from us. It doesn't It doesn't mean that something terrible happened, unfortunately. It can just mean, you know, someone, life events happened or burnout or what have you. So,
yes, good point. Good point. Shout out to Danny.
So, all right. Thanks, everybody.
A copy of this podcast, as well as links to each story covered, are available at revelationsradionews.com. To contact Andrew and Tim, or to support Revelations Radio News, please visit revelationsradionews.com and click on the Contact tab or Support tab. Please check out the other podcasts at revelationsradionetwork.com, and thank you for your support of this podcast. Don't you see? We're in.